of his stories on the morning show tomorrow morning. The latest assessment of the ranch fire burning primarily now in Lake County showed more than 4,000 acres of growth since Monday. This according to Cal Fire. That puts it at 355,000 acres. Containment on the mega fire, which is burning in Lake, Colusa, Glen, and Mendocino counties, was at 67%. Meanwhile, Assemblyman Jim Wood says the state should spend about $300 million a year on wildfire prevention. Local issues. County government. Supervisor Ryan Gregory is preparing to become chair of the board January 1st.
Chair Brad WagonConnect was out of town, gave me a chance as vice chair to step up and run the meeting, which was, I tell you, challenging. And I'm glad I got some practice getting into next year, and I'll probably get one more chance to practice, depending on Brad's schedule. But you're running an all-day meeting, you're a meeting facilitator, and you're running a whole day's worth of business. But at each item, you've got to have your own thoughts on that item and participate in the discussion. It was difficult, but also fun.
Brad WagonConnect is currently serving as chair. Napa in the North Bay, you are up to date. I'm Nate Campbell. That's the news.
In 2017, California had the worst wildfire season on record. Scientists say our weather is becoming more extreme, and we all have to be better prepared. That's why PG&E is adopting new and additional safety precautions to help us monitor and respond to dangerous weather. Hi, I'm Allison Bagley, a meteorologist with PG&E's Community Wildfire Safety Program. We're working now to enhance our weather forecasting capabilities, building a network of new weather stations to identify when and where extreme wildfire conditions may occur so we can respond faster and better. We're installing cutting-edge technology to provide real-time mapping and tracking of weather patterns. And we use this information in partnership with first responders and California's emergency response systems. To learn more about the Community Wildfire Safety Program and how you can help keep your home and community safe, visit pge.com/wildfire safety.
I like beer because it is good. I drink beer because I should. If there was a song to sing, I sing it and beer you bring.
Beer is good! Beer is good! Beer is good! It's good!
And now, from Napa Valley, California, it's Beer Nuts featuring brewmaster Colin Kaminsky.
Welcome to KVON 1440 Beer Nuts. It's another beautiful beer drinking day here in the Napa Valley. The fog is finally starting to roll in, and we're getting a cool fall pattern going here, and I'm starting to like it.
When isn't it a beautiful day?
For drinking beer, it is always a beautiful day.
In the Napa Valley.
Especially in the Napa Valley.
Since we have so many listeners that listen to us, I haven't said hi to my friends from the Netherlands in a while. So, Colin, I'm going to say hi to them.
Party on.
Still listening, Door 74. All the way out there.
That's really cool. And now we're an hour later, so hopefully they're bedtime. Doesn't come up because didn't we used to air about 9 p.m. there?
Yes.
So maybe, it's about 10 p.m. now. Yeah, so hopefully they figured it out.
Yeah, they still did listen to it before when it was. So when we switched our days. So.
We found out we were going to be starting at 10 o'clock last week, right after we got off the air. So that's kind of exciting. It's a lot easier to get guests an hour later in the morning.
Traffic's a lot better.
Traffic's a lot better for Big Daddy Love. And
yes, and also you get an hour of coffee time, an extra hour.
I know. This morning I took an extra hour of coffee time. Hung out with our research assistant. And
we have beer that we can drink an hour later, which is always a little bit nicer, especially if you just have like, you know, 4 or 5 hours in between sleep. A beer at 9 o'clock is a little, you know, 10 o'clock's a little bit better for me to drink a beer, actually.
So anyhow, the new permanent time is Wednesdays at 10 o'clock for yes. Beer Nuts.
I also heard that we're going to be rebroadcasted on Saturday at 12. That'll be super cool, especially for all these working people that can't listen to the radio that I know at the bar at Joe's. I'll just tell them we're going to be rebroadcasted. I don't know what I need a beer at 12.
At 12 on Saturdays. I hadn't heard the time yet. I knew we were gonna pick up a second slot.
Yeah, I just heard that on the way in, so I'm super excited about that.
Yeah, that is exciting. I knew that we were going to do they were going to air the show twice, but I didn't know what the time slot was yet. So
yeah,
thanks for that information.
Yeah, how was your weekend?
My weekend was good. I've got so much work to do right now that I haven't really gotten a weekend.
Wow.
But that's a good thing. Never complain about too much work, right?
Yeah. So I brought 3 beers today, so that should be a good start of this day.
Right.
I don't know if you want to start now, or I can talk about my weekend, which was pretty cool.
How was your weekend,
Big Dad? It was great. I finally went out to Drake's, the car dealership out there, which was super cool. Drake's Brewing.
Oh, yeah, in Hayward there.
Yes. And I finally made it out there. I know we had Drake's on the radio show a few months back, and just the way he described everything, you know, in my mind, it was pretty much exactly what I saw. You know, they have a nice courtyard. It's an old car dealership that they turned into a brewery. They have a ton of cool, good beer. You know, one of my favorite, as you know, is Denogonizer, and we've had that a few times on the show. And me and my son, that's our favorite go-to beer when we want to get, you know, that extra little kick going at the end of the night.
Right,
you know
that's a big beer.
Yeah, it's a big beer. It's around 9 or something like that, or 8, something close to 9 at least. So, yeah, their food was really cool. I mean, they had a lot of food for brewery. You know, when you have a brewery, you think the food's going to be pretty good, but not, like, super good. So they had a lot of salads on the menu. They had a lot of burgers, of course. And then what was really cool is they had their own fire pizza oven, which was awesome. You know, you could tell that they spent a lot of time making that oven. I guess they have, you know, if you have a whole dealership, you have a huge amount of space. So they had a really nice firewood oven, and the pizza, you know, I was watching them sitting there drinking a beer, watching them make it. And, you know, you get that oven up so high, you know, when you make your pizza, it only needs to be in there, you know, a couple seconds, turn it, and pow, it's out, you know. So, yeah, I mean, the heat on that thing must be super, super hot. I've always wanted to get a pizza oven. But, you know, they're pretty expensive by the time you get everything put in. I mean, they do have some market ones that are stainless steel, and then they put, like, ceramic inside. But there's something really cool about
I have a pizza oven. I have a friend whose hobby is pizza. And every time he buys a house, he builds a huge pizza oven. And it becomes the focal point of the backyard. Some people build a swimming pool. He builds a pizza oven. And he's done some amazing work, you know, big concrete tables with a pizza oven and a big dome, like a 4 foot in diameter dome pizza oven.
Yes.
And with a firebox. And
I remember when we had Drake on, they told me that they make their own brat. So I had to have one. So they made a Denogonizer brat, and then they made another brat that they made with, I think, their Pilsner. So I had those. They were a reasonable price, too. Everything was reasonable. The beers were super fresh because you're getting them there on tap, you know, so you always think you get it straight from the tap. It's always going to taste a lot better, you know. So I thoroughly enjoyed myself there. It was exactly how I pictured, you know, just a huge building. And they also inside they have a huge fire, a fire pit, this gas fire pit. I think it's like huge, like takes up the whole wall.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they had an indoor-outdoor kind of area, which was really nice, and super huge amount of a beer on top, and only some beer that you can only get there, some barrel aged stuff, which was really nice. And then they also had a beer called False Flag, so I had to try that one. Right. And Brut Loops, and I think that was a collaboration between them and someone else, so that was pretty good too. But yeah, it was a fun trip. Anyone that looking for something to do this weekend or within the next couple of days. They also do a Wake and Drake, which is like out in the courtyard with endless mimosas and beer and food. And like they do like a little brunch. So hats off to them. They did a good job. And also next door they had a ice cream place, because it's like down in this one whole area. They call it the Hive. And they have like a barber shop, which was pretty cool. If you want to get a haircut, you could drink beer. And it's kind of like an opened barbershop. I was like, wow, that's cool. You could drink beer and get your hair cut all at the same time. And also to bring the whole beer theme in to effect, because we are beer nuts, is they had beer ice cream at this ice cream parlor down there. And they made it with Sierra Nevada.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've never had beer ice cream.
I've had it a lot. It's a real common one that I you have at beer dinners.
Beer ice cream? Beer ice cream. Somebody's making it? Like out of
you know, Sean Paxton's made a ton of different versions of beer ice cream.
Really?
One of my favorites is he'll make maybe little 1 ounce cups or maybe 2 ounce cups, one at a time, and so he puts the cream in, and the beer in, drops a few drops of liquid nitrogen in, and whips it really quick.
Wow!
And makes these beautiful one-off, one at a time, beer ice cream cups.
Yeah. So if you go to Drake's, there's an ice cream shop right there, and it's called Humphrey's. And they make their own ice cream. It's got the logo's pretty cool, too. It's a double-headed cow.
Okay.
Looks like that. Isn't that weird looking?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, excuse me for saying it was Sierra Nevada. It was an Anchor Steam. I'm going back in my pictures right now. Anchor Steam.
Oh, okay.
Made infused beer, and it was super lovely. And that was the first time I ever had ice cream beer, so I saw it, and I'm like, that's cool. And then what's weird about it is it smells like ice cream. You smell it,
right?
And I mean, it smells like a beer. So you smell the ice cream, and it's like, smells like a beer. And then you taste it, and you can kind of taste the beer in the beginning. And it's like, the only way I can describe it is like if you took a scoop of ice cream and you put it in a beer.
Right.
That's exactly what it tastes like. And it's good.
And we've made beer floats before.
We make beer floats. Yeah. Right now, you know, the porter is always good, and then and the stout.
So the porter makes a really good ice cream as well, and I've done that.
Wow.
Porter ice cream, porter and vanilla ice cream.
So do you just make it in one of those old time ice cream makers, like?
Well, every time I've made ice cream, I've had liquid nitrogen.
Oh, of course you do.
Yeah, so liquid nitrogen's a lot easier to work with.
And you started it with a laser beam, right?
Yeah,
and it ignited.
In the 90s, I had an assignment, and about every 6 months, I'd have to get a bunch of liquid nitrogen for a project. And I only needed a little. And you have to buy 50 liters. And I only needed about 2 liters to do this project every 6 months. So I'd end up with all this liquid nitrogen left over. So I'd make ice cream. I'd freeze roses and break them and all sorts of random stuff.
This sounds exactly like I can see you doing something like this. Right. Freezing a cucumber and throwing it against the wall. Just shattering it.
Roses are my favorite. You freeze a rose and shatter it. Yeah.
I can see you doing that.
One time in high school, we... this is how old I am. So the science teacher brings in a doer of liquid nitrogen, and he's got these little molds specifically for this. And one mold has a little tiny hammer shape, and the other one has a little tiny nail shape. So we freeze an egg in the liquid nitrogen, and then we make a mercury nail and a mercury hammer, and we pounded the mercury nail into the egg.
This sounds super nerdy, man. Where was this high school at?
I grew up in Lake Tahoe.
John. All right. Yeah. Well, it sounds pretty cool. I'd do that.
Nick Grellman was one of my favorite teachers, but playing with mercury is probably not the safest thing.
No. Yeah. I mean, we used to all do it, right? We always used to break those thermometers and just like, oh, look at this mercury. And like, now we know not to do that. But when you're a kid, you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen some stuff, the stuff I jumped off, you know, Blake Berryessa. And I'm like, wow, I did that? Even though the water's back up where it's supposed to be, it's still like you look at it and you're like, that was crazy.
The big one we used to do, there's a place south of Lake Tahoe called Angora Falls. And the rock there is 68 feet. And we used to jump that one. But it's 68 feet into about 120 feet of water.
Yeah. And I know a bunch of the Napa natives will know about Milliken Falls. So you got to sneak in there.
Right.
And jump off that thing. That thing was way up in the air, too. And also dangerous for a lot of rocky. I know a lot of people get airlifted out of there every year. And you're not supposed to even be in there, but, you know.
Well,
who cares?
So jumping into reservoirs is always dangerous because they change height so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you have to be really careful anytime you're playing in a reservoir.
All right. Talk about playing. We should play with some beer right now.
Okay.
Put in some liquid and nitrogen. I have a beer. It's called Hop Valley, and it's called Light Me Up Lager, as all the Australians say when they come in. because it is crush right now, I think, because I'm having a lot of Australian.
It is crush, yeah.
So that's it's interesting when all the Australians come in and they go, do you got a lager?
I have a friend who puts the crush update on his Facebook page. And
definitely down.
And yeah, and their grapes are definitely getting harvested.
I know because our buddy, one of the bar regulars, going to give a shout out. He's also a beer nut. Victor, he always comes in later. You know, very strategic guy, comes in at the same time, orders the same beer, sits on the same table, says the same thing over and over. I mean, it's like Groundhog Day. You know what I mean? That customer. Hey, how's it going, Vic? Oh, yeah, here's your IPA. There you go. Here's your money. You know? And when he starts coming in late, I'm like, oh, it's bottling crush.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
he gets to stay late.
He's the logistics guy for a big group of wineries. So he's got to make sure everybody's got everything they need at the right time, at the right spot. And
yeah, this is his, I guess, busy time because he's not as smiley as he normally is during this time of year.
He's been working Saturdays, too.
Yeah, I bet. I bet he's been working a lot. Anyway, Vic, we're going to drink a beer to you, buddy. This is the Hop Valley Light Me Up Lager. So this one is from... Oregon, I'm pretty sure, because I've been to Oregon, and I remember going to this brewery, and it wasn't that big at the time. I think it's big time now. So it's cloudy, right?
You know?
Cloudy.
Taste it. Tell me what you think. This is this beer is brewed with simple ingredients for simple flavors, and for folks who enjoy a cold glass of suds. A small addition of clean flaked rice creates a crisp dryness that leads to a refreshing finish with a light hop kiss. Light Me Up Lager, Hop Valley Brewing. What does it say? Give me any other information.
It's Oregon.
4% alcohol by volume, so real light. And to me, it tastes kind of sour.
It does taste sour.
Yeah.
I was going to say, does it taste like a sour beer to you? Because
it doesn't taste like a sour beer, but it tastes more sour than I'm used to for a lager.
I wonder why that is. And it's cloudy.
Yeah.
It's definitely a different beer because, to me, I kind of like it because it is different right now. Because this is not what I expected. You know, I expected like that clean, crisp lager, you know, finish. This lingers with a sweet taste also.
And it's got a lactic taste, lactic acid taste.
It's fine to me. I wouldn't say it's the greatest beer I've ever drank. I wouldn't say it's the worst, but it's in between. It's probably lower towards the bottom for me.
I think I could do without the sour character, to be honest.
It's different, and you know I'm not a big sour guy, so that's automatically a
deal breaker for you.
A deal breaker. Yeah, but it's not sour, so it doesn't bother me.
To be honest, it's sour like it happened on accident, and that's
Yeah, well, this one's the Light Me Up. Pretty simple label. It's got the Hop Valley label with the, you know, which is cool. I like their label for their brewery. It's like, it says hop, but the O is a hop, and then it's just a basic green and black label. It says Light Me Up Lager. And it comes in a, 16-ounce can, which is unusual, too. Most of the beers I've seen that are lagers are in glass. But it doesn't have to be, but...
Well, no, and canning's just becoming such a big thing industry-wide now. And I'm not sure why. I'm personally not a big fan of cans. I think glass is the better package. But there's a lot of breweries that are can only.
Just because of the price? Or just because it's becoming more vogue? Or,
you know, I think
it's recycling value? Or
I think there's a lot of reasons. One, you can take it to the beach. You don't have to worry about the bottle breaking.
Or the pool, especially during the summer.
Right.
It's like when the Corona comes out with their can, you know it's summertime, right? I've seen the commercial 1,000 times with the guy who reaches in the ice and then he pulls out the Corona and goes, "Summer!" I guess you don't watch TV that much, Colin. It's been on
I haven't had a commercial on my TV in almost 20 years now.
Guy. All right.
Well. I decided I wasn't going to let them bring commercials into my life anymore. So if it has commercials.
You stream everything? You stream it? Or
I do now, but for 10 years I only did DVDs.
Oh, So you're like a movie nut, which is going to lead up to our next beer.
But I have a TV series on DVD as well.
Yeah. So you've seen all the Star Trek.
I've seen all the Star Trek. I've seen all
Generation
the MASH.
All MASH.
Yeah.
Back in, well,
I've got the whole series of MASH.
Well, that's what Kenny, my assistant bartender, used to do, just because he used to live up in Circle Oaks, and they had, you know, this was a long time ago. They didn't have very good
reception
up there, and it's hard to get cable up there, so he just watched movies, DVDs, all the time.
That's, you know, to be honest, I prefer it, but I kind of want a 100-disc DVD changer.
Speaking of movies, Colin, we have a Nakasi beer, which we know is from Oregon for sure.
Yep, from Portland.
Yeah, Portland or Eugene.
Yeah.
Eugene. Dawn of the Red.
Dawn of the Red.
And it has the...
The devil horns.
The devil horns, the rock sign.
Yeah, the
Baphomet sign for those in the know. And then it has a pretty cool label. Kind of gives you that Dawn of the Dead, you know, the writing that kind of strolls out. And it's red and green.
A red IPA.
Yeah, basically has the devil horn or El Diablo finger.
Dawn of the sign. Red IPA. Bursting with tropical notes, this red IPA captures the bright complexity of El Dorado and Mosaic hops. Boy, Mosaic is hard to get right now. And an assertive hop, can't even read it. An assertive hop presence is carried by a subtle caramel backbone, unearthing a beer that is flavorful and juicy. And it is 7% alcohol and 66 IBUs. So right in the sweet spot of IPAs for bitterness for me.
You know what this reminded me of when I saw it? It reminded me of your guys' beer that you made at the college. Was it in a red IPA?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Yeah, so I was like, well, let's try it against...
It wasn't quite as hoppy as an IPA, but yeah, it was a red, and it was a little hoppy.
Yeah, that's what it reminded me of. I mean... You're the one that always told me, you know, IPA doesn't stand for anything but, you know, pale.
So, P means pale.
So I was interested that you actually made that. I mean, I guess your students decided to make it, and you were just telling them how to.
Yeah, that was part of the class was to, as a group, we had to agree on a style of beer. And then we went through, then the next week, we went through and brewed that beer.
So here we go to a red IPA. And it doesn't even look that red, does it?
No, it isn't as red as I was expecting, yeah, which is nice because this is just kind of a deep coppery IPA.
Yeah. So what do you think? Smell is?
It smells fruity, yeah.
It does. So El Dorado hops, I've been seeing that a lot, you know, on the back of the labels.
It's one I've never brewed with. It's kind of one of those ones that was always on the radar. And just never got any to brew with.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know a lot about it.
Must be one of those hot hops, you know, like Mosaic. They're using those.
El Dorado's much older than Mosaic. Mosaic is one of the newer hops, and El Dorado's been around a lot longer.
Yeah, I haven't heard of El Dorado until recently. And I don't know if I've just been reading labels more.
And speaking of hops.
Or they've been putting it on labels label.
It is also more. Hop harvest soon. Okay. So
what's that mean? You harvesting hops?
Well, I don't, but yeah, I grow hops, but I don't harvest them.
Yeah,
I grow them as an ornamental.
I've seen some in your backyard.
Yeah, I just grow them as an ornamental.
Yeah, and store it in the top of your beer.
I just throw them all away in the
smell
fall.
Them. Yeah, throw them all away.
I've got a bunch of Cascade hops that I grow.
Yeah,
and
I've seen them. They're climbing up the walls, so yeah. You got to have like a string or something to keep them off the ground, right? They have to climb up something.
Yeah, they like to climb 20 feet. Yeah. And they climb 20 feet in about 2.5 months.
So when do you have to plant a hop if you want to grow hops in your backyard?
So it's a rhizome. So it keeps coming. It keeps growing every year once you plant it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you just leave it in the ground.
So you just plant it and then
cut it down every fall. And then
comes back
when the shoots come in the spring, you string them up again. And
cool.
Yeah, it takes about 3 years to get a rhizome really established.
Wow. So this beer... I'm not a fan of.
No?
No. I don't know if it's just because I drank that kind of a sweet, soury beer before and then hit this as kind of a... I don't know, Colin. It's not It's not my favorite. I don't know if
you know. It's a little bit papery, like wet cardboard. And I don't know. Can you smell that? The wet paper bag smell. You know, like you've been.
Oh yeah, like your 40 ounce.
Sitting on the park bench with a 40. Yeah,
you smell the bag starts, and the condensation goes into the bag, and yeah, then, yeah. So maybe it's an old.
Yeah, it's an old beer,
but
that's really unfortunate too.
Yeah, because I want to taste it against the beer that you guys made from the college.
No, that's long gone. But.
No, but I mean, I still remember the similar, right. We'll just see if it's similar to the flavor profile that I remember, which could be altered, you know, because memory is not 100%. But
especially for flavors,
and Nikasi is like one of my favorite breweries. So
I've always liked Nikasi.
That's why when I see the Nikasi label, I'm pretty sure it's going to be an awesome beer.
Oh, so I looked something up for you.
Uh-oh.
So last week we were talking about Lagunitas, and you were thinking that they might be doing a hop-infused beer.
Yes, I did hear the rumor that.
So I did check it out, and what they are doing is they are making a hop tea that they are then shipping off to a hop or a marijuana product manufacturer. And they're making a marijuana beverage with hop tea, and it's carrying the Lagunitas label in the dispensaries, but there is no alcohol.
So it's a marijuana tea that
they it's that a they marijuana made. And hop tea, yeah.
That Lagunitas
made. That has Lagunitas' logo on it as well as whatever dispensary or whatever company is making.
Let's back the truck up one more time. So they're making, okay, Lagunitas is making what in sending it?
A hop tea.
A hop tea. So they're making a hoppy.
So they put tea and hot water together and extract it. And then they take that and they ship it to the company that makes the marijuana product out of it.
And they're infusing.
I don't know what they're infusing that. I only know the Lagunitas side of it.
Okay, so the Lagunitas is involved.
And Lagunitas' logo is going to be on the product.
Which will be pretty cool.
Which will be pretty cool, yeah.
And then eventually they might actually.
Well, that's gets into crazy laws, so I don't see that happening anytime soon.
Well, they got their foot way up the door, right? Because they're already going to be. You're already hitting your market, right?
Right.
So they're already. Somebody's out there planning this. Well, strategic infusion of beer and marijuana.
Alcohol laws change really slowly, so I don't know if we'll see that in the next decade.
You know, I think it's pretty smart for the Lagunitas to put their label out there from people who.
They've been so associated with the 420 movement for so long that it seems like a natural thing. It makes sense.
So, yeah.
Yeah, they used to have that big 420 parking lot party every year.
So the rumor is somewhat true, like all rumors. There's a little bit
of truth, right. It's there's some truth to it.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to drink some more of this beer so we can fill up the next beer.
First, we're going to pay some bills.
We got bills?
Yep. You're listening to KVON 1440 Beer Nuts.
Hi there, this is Barry Martin. Join me weekdays for the KVON Morning Show each and every Monday through Friday. Up and Adam, bright and early at 6 o'clock, live and local. I'll take you through the morning drive hours, get you off to work and off to school, informed, entertained, and educated, we hope. Well, at least maybe one out of three on most days. In any event, join me tomorrow for the KVON Morning Show. We'll cover all the stories in the news you need to know. Tomorrow morning, right here.
Kick off the weekend with Maryvale Wines and a selection of light bites while enjoying live music. Visit Maryvale Winery between 4:30 and 6:30 p.m. this Friday for live music on the terrace featuring Jackson Rahm. No reservation and no charge for entry. The Tasting Terrace is a new addition to the historic Maryvale Winery, located at 1000 Main Street in St. Helena. On Friday nights, enjoy complimentary corkage with dinner at Pizzeria Trevina on your first bottle of Maryvale wine. Come out this Friday for great wine, food, and music in the heart of wine country.
Hi, it's Rainey with the Polyclass Foundation. We've been helping families find their missing children for the past 25 years. We're here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and are committed to ensuring that every child is returned home safely. We're equally committed to prevention, helping families with child safety education so they don't go missing in the first place. We know your children's safety is most important, and you do everything you can to keep them safe. Visit our website and download your free child safety kit today. The Polyclass Foundation is here as a resource and partner for you, your family, and our community. We rely on your vehicle donations to sustain our work. If you have a car, truck, boat, or RV you no longer need, give us a call. We make donating easy and you'll receive the maximum tax deduction. Call the Polyclass Foundation today at 707-769-1334 or go to polyclass.org. Thanks for your support.
At Napa Valley College, we are more than classrooms and laboratories.
We are community.
We are vineyards and winemaking.
We are theater, music, art, and dance.
We are photography and ceramics.
We are small business development.
We are welding and industrial technology.
We are athletics.
We are community.
Late start credit and community education classes are available now through November.
Review these classes and much more at napavalley.edu.
That's napavalley.edu.
Safeway Open, presented by Chevron, returns to Napa at the Silverado Resort and Spa October 3rd through the 7th. World Golf Hall of Famer Phil Mickelson and two-time defending champion Brendan Steele headline the field at the PGA Tour's season opener. When the golf ends, the music begins. The Safeway Open Concert Series kicks off on Thursday night with Sammy Hagar. Friday night features Young the Giant, and Saturday night, don't miss Billy Idol live from the Chevron stage. Daily tickets start at just $30 and include access to golf and concerts. New this year, 100% of ticket sales support fire relief right here in the Napa Valley. For tickets and information, visit SafewayOpen.com.
Napa's professional baseball team, the Silverados, has only 9 games remaining this season. And this is a sports report with Ira C. Smith. The Silverados battling to get into the playoffs, and they are at home against Martinez Clippers tonight, 6 o'clock airtime for the broadcast on KVON. Tomorrow night, they'll be home to the Pittsburgh Diamonds. 7 of their remaining 9 games are at home out at Napa Valley College. The Oakland A's, after this afternoon's game, will travel to Minnesota, where they open a 4-game series tomorrow night. San Francisco Giants tonight have another game in their 4-game series at New York against the Mets, and that closes out tomorrow afternoon with an early game. In local college women's soccer, Napa Valley is over in Cupertino this afternoon against De Anza, and in volleyball tonight, Vintage is hosting Will C. Wood of Vacaville. The Napa High Athletic Booster Club is meeting tonight out at Hop Creek out at Browns Valley, 5:30 start. Appetizers are provided. You can learn about Napa High student athletes and that new Vine Valley League. We'll be broadcasting football action on Friday night. The Vintage Crushers at home against Akalanis of Lafayette. 6:45 is airtime for the pregame show on KVON and on KVYN. At the same time, we'll have Justin Sienna hosting Healdsburg. And then on Saturday night, it's Napa High at home against East Union of Manteca. Again, 6:45 airtime for the broadcast of that game.
Beer is good! Beer is good! Beer is good! It's soft! Beer is good! Beer is good! Beer is good!
Let's go drink some beer!
Beer!
Geeking out with Beer Nuts.
Welcome back to KVON 1440 Beer Nuts in our new 10 o'clock time slot. It's nice to be back to 10.
I love 10. 10 is a perfect 10.
There you go. In our perfect 10 time slot.
And rebroadcast it on
Saturdays at 12. At noon. Yeah,
that'd be cool too. 12 during the day, not at night. So all the night guys, you know, during the day. Right when you're out mowing the lawn, getting ready to do some yard work.
Or having your first beer of the day.
You know, or getting ready to watch some football. You know, football season's here. Colin, I know you don't know, but it's here.
Okay. So, well, you know, if you're only going to drink a half day, you have to start at noon.
Oh, yeah. And guess what? I did something else very cool this weekend that you would be very interested in because you were one of those theater guys.
One of those
theater guys. Those guys. I actually had a great time. You know, I didn't think it'd be as fun as it was, but it was called The Speakeasy, San Francisco. And so basically you sign up for this. It's kind of a, have you ever heard of, I'm sure you have, immersive theater?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So you're actually a part of the show without being a part of the show. So it was basically a speakeasy. Me and my wife went out there and stayed in San Francisco.
Where? Oh, in the city?
Yeah.
What theater is putting it on?
It's the pop-up. So what you do is you pay your money.
And then you and show up at a restaurant somewhere? Or?
No. Then they sign you up, and then they send you a text message and say, okay, you need to go to this street and look for a guy with a red hat. And then you finally, you know, of course it's full costume, 1920s. I didn't tell you about that. Oh, okay. But everyone's dressed up. You have to be dressed up or you won't make it through the secret entrance, which was pretty cool. I'll tell you about that in a minute. So they send you text messages and they say, go to this street and meet this guy in the red hat. So we took a cab and like the cab driver, are you sure this is where you want to go? This is like in the middle of Chinatown. I'm like, well, that's where they say we go. So we ended up finding the guy, and then the guy was dressed with a red hat and a red scarf in 1920s outfits, kind of like Capone-ish, Great Gatsby kind of attire. And he took our cell phones, and he put them in like this, I don't know, some kind of metal thing, and he said, make sure you turn them off. If you open this bag, we'll know, and you'll be kicked out, because it was on some super sealed I guess they make these cell phone sealers probably for people that work. And if you open it, your boss will know because you got to show them that you didn't open it or take any pictures. So it was very unusual that you couldn't take pictures because I was having so much fun. I wanted to take a picture, but it kind of made it more immersive.
Well, and also it would take you out of the time period.
It would take you. Exactly what they want. So I talked to the guy at the red hat. Then I went to a clockmaker, and you got to tell him, hey, can you fix my watch? You know, yeah, like all these little
code words
that you have to say, like, hey, you know where to get a piece of pie, a nice piece of pie, you know, and it was pretty cool. So I had to do like three things to get to this door, and it wasn't a door. It was like, oh, would you like to see our closet? And then there's a door that went into the closet, kind of like The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Right.
You go through this door, and then bang, you're right there in your speakeasy. And they had gambling, which was really cool. They had gambling, so they had the craps table. They had the poker and 21, blackjack. So they had quite an array. And then they also were having their special hooch liquor because it was back in the 20s when it was Prohibition days. So you had to get a doctor's prescription to have your medicine, which was the liquor, and everything was handwritten. So you had no credit cards. It was all handwritten. And so at the end, then you gave your credit card. But until the end, you're just writing. They're writing stuff on pen and paper like the old days, and then they do interactive acting and shows in between when you're walking around. So that was the gambling room. We started out there first, and we did some gambling, played some craps, had some drinks. They were doing special drinks, like old school drinks, like Manhattans, champagne, and you know, the period style. And the building was all done. They looked exact. The light down from the lighting, down from flushing the toilets with the handle that you used to pull. You know, the
right pole? with the tank up above.
Yeah, the tank up above, and the lighting and the floor, everything was done. The roof was all done in a tile, and so the next room I went to was the bar. So they had this old time bar, and you know, of course, they had some actors like a drunk Irish guy, and you know, some ladies singing, and a piano player, and it was totally cool. Then they had a beret, and they had dancers. It was just like sensory overload, and so anyone out there looking for something fun to do.
So was there a plot as well that was going
on?
Yeah,
it was a plot. They had a storyline, and everybody's storyline is different because you can wander around
and
every single room,
right,
and talk to them, and then they had their shows going on, their plays and stuff going on in the background, and then also they had the main stage where you know they had comedic mimes, they had dancing. They had singing. They had the flapper dancers.
So one of the famous one of these plays is called Tony and Tina's Wedding.
Yes,
and you
exactly like that.
And you actually go in and you're one of the guests at the wedding, and you can dance with the bride. You know, they do the money dance with the bride, and
yeah, it was like,
and the whole thing. You can talk to the I think it's the bride's parents that are divorced, and he shows up with his young girlfriend, and there's all this drama going on, and you can be a part of it. You can, you know, you can walk up to the actors
You know, of course, in there's the mob boss,
right?
You know, and he's the man, and everyone, you know, he has his thing, and everyone's working for him, and yeah, it was super cool. Anyone, I highly recommend it. It's a little bit pricey, but hell, you only live once. And, you know, the whole thing is based on Prohibition and a speakeasy. So
that's really cool.
I'm not going to tell you what happens.
No, I don't want to know what happens.
Because you should go and see it. Yeah. And everybody's story is going to be a little bit different, but there are main plot lines that happen. So, yeah, me and my wife had a great time. We dressed up. And I think that's the only way you can do it. I mean, I think there are some days you don't have to dress up, but I recommend going on Saturday where everybody has to dress up. And if you're not dressed up, they make you rent.
A costume.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
Yep. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Well, super fun. So, I found another beer, and
well, let's we're 0-2 today, really.
0-2.
Yeah.
You didn't like the first one either so much.
No, I think it had an issue.
You know what? I think you're gonna have an issue with this one also.
Uh-oh.
Just because it's a raspberry flavored beer.
You know what? As long as it doesn't have a technical flaw, I'm gonna be happy at this point. We almost never get beers on the air that are technically flawed. Almost never.
And almost never. I mean, most of the beers we love. We give good reviews.
The
Hot Valley wasn't too bad, the lager. It didn't taste like a lager, but I could have dealt with
it. I think it had an issue either in the can or in the aging, a technical flaw that wouldn't have been in every batch. And then the last beer was certainly oxidized and papery. And
all right. Three's a charm then.
Let's see.
This is Abita, right? Abita?
Abita.
So this is the Purple Haze, and I think they're out of St. Louis?
I don't know where they are, but they're one of my favorite beers. I like Abita.
Abita?
And it's actually one of the ones I think was bought out.
I think it was bought out. Was it Miller?
I don't know.
Anyway, this is a Purple Haze, and it has the, I guess, the Witch Doctor on the front, which I like. Some of these beers I just buy because of
the logo.
The logo. I mean, and it has a purple, you know, like
purple. So they're in Louisiana.
Louisiana. Okay.
And
that would make sense with the voodoo guy, right? Abita. It's probably that's the name of the town.
Let's see. They were...
Abita. Sounds like a town.
Abita Brewing Company has become a founding partner for Enjoy Beer, a new financial consortium designed to enable large-scale craft breweries to pool resources. Organized by former Harpoon Brewery CEO Rich Doyle and backed with capital from private equity firm Friedman, Fleischer & Lowe, Enjoy Beer will offer business services and capital to partner breweries in addition to an acquisition platform. So it's a consortium, and that was, I'm reading a 2015 article on Beer Connoisseur website.
Okay. So we know they're from Louisiana, and that would go with the theme with the voodoo doll.
Yep.
And the Purple Haze, this is a raspberry beer, so I want you to try it first because...
I've actually had this beer a lot, and it's one...
You've had Purple Haze?
I've had Purple Haze a lot. Okay. It's a regular...
You already know about it.
It's a regular on tap at Bilko's.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we have a raspberry beer at Joe's also, and you were the main...
Yeah, I made that recipe a long time ago. It was... we used to have a general manager named Zach.
Oh, yes.
Or a restaurant manager.
And he wanted a fruit beer.
And so we made the raspberry for him. And then he left a few months later. Yeah. And
it's still there?
And the raspberry's been there for years now.
So this one's pretty low in alcohol. It's only 4.2. It definitely smells like raspberries. Definitely.
But it's...
Yeah, you can smell the raspberry.
Yeah, it's...
Well, not another one.
Oh, no, it's okay. Not. It's
okay.
No technical flaws in this one. This one's good. But yeah, it definitely tastes and smells just like raspberry.
Yeah, super raspberry, actually.
Yep.
That also be a good beer on a hot day. Not a big fruit in beer guy like you, Colin, but this one is refreshing for sure.
And it's hoppier than the one at Joe's. Yeah.
The carbonation level's pretty good.
Yeah, real high carbonation, and we let it get a little warm here in the studio, but
it definitely pops in your mouth. So. Yeah. I mean, you can definitely, when you drink that, you know, wow, this is a refreshing, crisp, high carbonated, fruity beer, and you definitely know what the fruit is. This is raspberry. You could definitely smell it.
Yeah,
it's
very clearly raspberry, yeah.
Yeah, there's no, like, mistaking this is strawberry, or is this a blueberry, or is this a schnozberry, you know. This is blueberry. This is raspberry for sure.
Was it a slowberry?
It's a slowberry. So, which reminds me, funny story that happened years ago. I went to Moylan's and was drinking beer there, and I usually drink their high alcohol IPAs, and my buddy was drinking a blueberry beer, which was blue. right And so, of course, when you're with your buddy and he's drinking a blue beer, you got to give him a little bit of razzing, right?
You got to give him some Smurf jokes.
Yes, that's exactly what I did. I told him he was drinking a Smurf beer, and I don't know if any of our listeners know what a Smurf is, but it's probably, you know, it's definitely my time period, and Colin, it should be somewhere.
I was in my 20s when the Smurf came out. But
yeah, I was just a little kid, I think, walking around, and I used to watch the Smurfs, and you know, they had different Smurf names. One was, well, of course, Papa Smurf and Smurfette, and then they had all these other Smurfs like Brainy Smurf and
so when you're in
Healthy
your,
Smurf.
When you're in your 20s, you know, you look at these things a little differently. And how many Smurfs are there? There's like 25 Smurfs or something.
There's a lot of Smurfs. Man.
There's a lot of Smurfs
for everything.
And,
pretty much.
And but there's only one girl Smurf.
Yeah, Smurfette, I think.
I don't remember her name.
Lady Smurf, Smurfette, something like that. There's one bad guy.
How did that work?
I don't know. She had to pick it a lot.
Yeah, I guess, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there was a...
Were there baby Smurfs?
There might have been a baby Smurf. I kind of remember one crawling. I don't know if it was a Grumpy Smurf or could have been Brainy Smurf or... What's another Smurf? Let's see how many...
I have no idea.
I don't know. There's a lot.
I don't think I've made it through a whole episode.
I know the bad guy's name was Gargamel.
Yeah,
this is just from my childhood memories. I don't know. Anyway, so he had a Smurf. I called it the Smurf beer. And then, you know, I was like, let me try the Smurf beer. and then I tried it, right? It was great. So I started drinking Smurf beer, too. We were, like, Smurfing.
So the one of the owners of Moylan's, the man who runs Moylan's, Brandon, is also part owner in San Rafael Brewing. What's the brewery in Larkspur there? Marin Brewing Company.
Yeah.
And so Marin Brewing Company still has the same master brewer from the original days. And
that's cool.
And he was really famous for a blueberry amber beer that they made one before anybody knew to enter awards competitions. He was winning awards with his blueberry amber. So blueberry has been a big flavor in that whole business model I think the first one I had would have been 96 or 97.
If I went to Marin Brewing Company, can I get the blueberry beer?
I don't think it's a regular. Okay. I think it's a fall seasonal.
To get online. I know they have that knockout IPA that, like, I always seem to get that one. The knockout. Almost good.
Marin Brewing, one of the forgotten breweries here in the Bay Area.
It's a cool spot, too. It's kind of like in...
They've been around since at least the 90s, maybe even the late 80s, and just making amazing beers, high quality production from before people were interested in craft beer.
Yeah, which is interesting because most of these people are going to all these new venues, and they forget. I think they forget, like me personally, I haven't thought about Marin Brewery in a long time, but I've been there many times. I've been there at least 3 or 4 times. So... I don't know if it's just not.
I used to, you know, it's right next to the ferry building. It's really close to the ferry building. Not, you know, you drive over, but And so I used to go whenever I was on the Larkspur Ferry. So I've been there 50 times. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it's just because I've been there before and I want to try something where I haven't been, or if it's just, there's so many. It's interesting because I used to go like to Moylan's in the Marin and that area quite often, but now there's breweries I haven't even been to, you know. Up in Santa Rosa, there's like three or four that I want to go to that I haven't been to yet.
And so. I hear Russian River's crashing ahead, speaking of Marin County Brewers. So Russian River's crashing ahead with their new brewery. You're wearing a Russian River hat today.
I am. Yeah. I am a big fan of their beer. It's become very popular, which is, I don't know, it makes it less cool, but they're definitely expanding, which is good for them. And
yeah, the new brewery's crashing ahead. I've seen some updates.
Is it going to be in Windsor? Is that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what. Yeah.
Yeah. So, they're keeping their old facility. So don't everybody freak out when Colin says they're crashing ahead.
Well, they're keeping the pub, but they're getting rid of Fernando Court. So the production facility
is moving. But the pub is more.
Well, no, it's not moving. They're actually selling it as a turnkey business. So
anyone out there with the millions of dollars?
I don't know. So all the terms have been really secret, but they're going to leave the brew house installed. They're going to they're taking all their barrels, but they're leaving everything else, and they want to sell the whole Fernando Court. They might even have a buyer. But last news I heard on it was a year ago.
There might be somebody already logged in.
The new production brewery. Is going to have all new equipment designed specifically for this brewery.
All right. So what's the weirdest beer you've seen made with a fruit that you can remember?
I don't know. There's so many bad idea.
I know your favorite beer was from, I think, High Water, was the cucumber mint.
Yeah, cucumber's got to be one of the worst fruits you could think of.
Is cucumber a fruit?
It's got seeds.
Oh, does that make it a fruit?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, like a tomato?
Like a tomato.
Eat your vegetables. Well, it's actually not a vegetable, it's a fruit, so yeah, I'm good. Yeah, this one is definitely raspberry for sure. So, and you've had this on tap a lot, so which is kind of interesting because I've never really seen it until recently.
Yeah, Abita's a pretty mainstream beer in tap houses.
And you think Purple Haze would be taken already?
No, yeah, they obviously got it early, right?
Yeah.
Abita's a pretty old brewery.
Yeah, some of those beer names, no matter what you pick, you put it into the Google, man, and so, it just comes up.
So I have a friend.
Comes up. Every name comes up.
I have a friend who opened a brewery recently. And about a year ago, and it took them a year to find a brewery name because they were all taken.
Isn't that weird?
With 6,500 breweries, all the cool ideas. I mean, it took them forever, and they ended up. They finally opened New Realm Brewing.
New Realm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, yeah, not you know, they tossed out hundreds of cool. Beery kind of names, and none of them would stick. They all owned the rights on. Well, yeah, right. Either it was an existing brewery, or somebody had bought the name. Yeah, somebody had trademarked the name.
Yeah, the domain name. Wow. Yeah, I know. I notice like when I'm thinking like names and stuff, and I put it in there, and it's taken.
I have a friend who collects domains.
Oh yeah,
yeah. He just
buys them up and then waits for somebody.
Yeah, just. If it's a beery kind of name, he'll just register it, and it costs him, you know, $1,000 a year to keep them all current, but he doesn't care. And
yeah, eventually he's probably going to make some money.
You know, I think he actually wants to use them.
Oh, really? Yeah. He's thinking of using
those names.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not? What's the last beer you made, Colin? Just thinking about beer.
The last beer I made was a 100% RAR. Base malt beer with 100% centennial hops. And
when you say RAR, what does that mean besides the lion's roar?
So RAHR.
Yeah, what is that?
Is one of the biggest malting companies in the world.
So it's a malt.
It's a malt. Yeah.
And it's called RAR.
RAR. and I really like Rar. It always tastes like Pliny to me because Pliny uses a lot of Rar. And so that was the beer I made. I made 20 gallons of it, but I was really trying out a new electric element. My job was to prove that the equipment could boil, and the recipe was secondary to what I was doing.
So did it boil?
It worked just fine, yeah. But I approved the burner. And you've been listening to KVON 1440 Beer Nuts!
Beer Nuts!
Hi, this is Sports Director Ira Z. Smith, inviting you to visit our website at kvon.com. You'll find local, regional, and national sports news. There's a schedule of upcoming local play-by-play games, as well as you can click on audio to hear archives of recent play-by-play games. KVON also streams the station live online at kvon.com. All your Napa Valley sports action at 1440 KVON's website, kvon.com.
In California, there's no stopping traffic. Semis passing over here. Motorcycles over there. Tailgaters everywhere. And up there, a guy who's driving like he's